The Meaning of Marxism by Paul D'Amato. The Shrinking Working Class. Some analysts claim we have entered a, quote, post-industrial society in which automation is shrinking, if not eliminating, the working class. As a result, workers no longer have the power that Marx attributed to them. Capital has succeeded, writes French radical author André Gortz, quote, in reducing workers' power in the production process, end quote. This analysis is based on the mistaken idea that workers' power depends on the absolute size of the working class. But workers exhibit a concentrated power far beyond what numbers alone suggest. Surely, this is one of the important lessons of the Russian Revolution, where the industrial working class was less than 2% of the population, but had its hands on the economic jugular of Russian capitalism. The same lies even more so today. The U.S. manufacturing working class is 6 times larger than Russia's in 1917, and it is far more productive. Undeniably, there has been a relative shift in employment in the United States and other advanced industrial countries since the late 1960s, from industry to the service sector. About a third, 32.7%, of workers were employed in manufacturing, mining, and construction in 1963, whereas just over a fifth, or 20.8%, were employed in this sector 30 years later. One author estimates that the United States lost 3.5 to 4 million jobs between 1978 and 82, or 1 out of every 4 jobs in large manufacturing facilities. The manufacturing workforce in the United States stood at 22.5 million in 1979. But had dropped to 18.1 million by 2002. But that isn't the whole picture. While economic restructuring was shrinking the size of the manufacturing workforce in the United States, industrial growth was increasing it dramatically in countries like Brazil, Mexico, and South Korea. In South Korea, for example, the size of the manufacturing workforce increased from 1.2 million in 1969 to 4.7 million in 1994. Even in the older manufacturing centers, the absolute number of industrial workers increased slightly until the mid-90s. In the industrial OECD nations of the North as a whole, there were 115 million people employed in industry in 1994, compared with 112 million in 1973. The numbers have declined since then. The point, however, is that the relative decline in the number of industrial workers is really just another indicator of the increase in labor productivity, a fact that strengthens rather than weakens the potential power of workers at that point in production. In the United States, manufacturing output increased by 44% between 1992 and 2002, at the same time that manufacturing employment declined by 7%, representing a 55% increase in productivity. Though industrial workers' relative numbers have decreased due to productivity increases, their social weight has increased. Moreover, capitalist production has become so integrated that a single strike by a few thousand workers at a strategically critical factory can shut down an entire industry. Finally, it would be a mistake to think that only industrial workers are part of the working class. The majority of white-collar and public sector workers are also part of the working class. along with a relative decline in manufacturing jobs, service industry jobs have mushroomed. Cashiers, nurses, orderlies, janitors, truck drivers, warehouse workers, waiters, sales workers, social workers, and school teachers. These are people who work for a wage, in many cases, a wage that is lower than that of a factory worker, and who have little or no control over their work. They are subject to the same logic of exploitation and share the same interests as workers in factories, mines, building sites, and fields. The working class is still the majority, though its structure has changed. Economics professor Michael Zweig estimates that the class of wage workers in the United States constitutes about 62% of the population, a low estimate because he excludes school teachers. Teacher strikes are practical proof that, no matter how much society attempts to instill middle-class professionalism in teachers, their working conditions force them to behave just like other workers. As the mass protests of millions of immigrant workers showed in the spring of 2006, the working class is a sleeping giant whose awakening will once again remind us all of its awesome potential. End of section.